Series. I'm your host, Matt Higgs, the FF Educator, back with John Lobb, the Gridiron Scholar. As always, this is the Keon Coleman Rookie Profile episode. This is going to be a good one here. Keon Coleman, I'm just going to say right off the bat, he has been all over the rookie big board rankings, all right? He's been as high as three. Right now, he is not three. But I got to tell you, you know, for somebody leading up to the NFL draft, I can't wait, John. If you were to tell me, like, who are the three people you're most excited to see their draft capital, their landing spot, it's probably Keon Coleman twice and then somebody else. You know, like, I am so excited to see what the NFL thinks of Keon Coleman because I know we both have a lot of thoughts. We're going to get into his background. We're going to get into his tape review. We're going to plug him into the stat model, which has definitely been a challenge for him in the pre-draft process. And then we're going to put it all together. We're going to tell you what's the right value point here to make a smart investment in Keon Coleman. Or maybe the answer is to fade. We'll get to that at the end. But first, John, give us the background on Keon Coleman because it's a pretty impressive but short college career.
Throughout this process of the last 12 months, Keon Coleman has been one of the most perplexing prospects that I've had to analyze and look at. And I'm really glad there's a bunch of different data points that I look at, and we're on the final data point. All we're basically waiting for is draft capital. We've had the combine, so we got a 40 time on him, and we got some other positive. Even the combine was a little up and down, which is obviously symbolic of his entire career, Matt. In 2023, when the season kicked off, I was pretty excited about Keon Coleman. There's a lot of chatter. Debbie community liked him. I want to see this young man play. And when the season ended, I looked at the accolades. And if you look at the accolades, he was first team All-ACC wide receiver, first team All-ACC all-purpose player, and first team return specialist, as well as the Florida State newcomer of the year. So I'm looking at the accolades, Matt, and I say to myself, he must have had a Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison with all these trophies on the wall. So what do? I plug the numbers into my model. Matt, 50 catches for the season, 658 yards and 11 touchdowns. So I say, I need to look deeper. Like, these raw volume numbers are really not impressive. Also, let's put into context. Florida State was undefeated. They would have gone to the playoffs if Jordan Travis remains healthy. I mean, he had a lot of pieces around him, and that production wasn't good. And I've heard this all winter, Matt. People point to the LSU game. I think that was on Sunday night of the opening weekend, Labor Day, if my memory serves me. And people say, look at what he did against LSU. Timeout. LSU was the worst defense they've ever had in my 40 years of watching LSU. So when we were watching that game, I mean, they were so bad, dude. And when we were watching that game, we didn't know that the Tigers were that bad in the secondary and up front. So we might have been impressed more than we should have, Matt. And look at these numbers. I wanted to see that game against LSU. 9 catches for 122 yards and 3 touchdowns. But here's where my red flag goes off. Those numbers. His 9 catches were 18% of his production. The 122 yards were 19% of his receiving yards. And his 3 touchdowns were 27%. So basically a fifth of his production for the entire season, Matt, came against one of the all-time worst defenses in Tigers history. So, okay, I'm still perplexed. Well, I'm impressed by the punt returns. He had 25 for 300 yards, which was the highest in the ACC and the third most in America. His average of 12 yards per punt return ranks second in the ACC and ninth nationally. Now, why do I like that? You can see his athletic ability, his fluidity, his vision. He just is really good on the punt return team. So that's obviously skills there. So I had to go back. I watched tape at Michigan State. Plugged in the numbers at Michigan State. 58 catches for 798 yards and 7 touchdowns. He was named third team all Big Ten. I actually think, Matt, he was better in my film study in 2022 for the Spartans than he was with Florida State when you're looking at a receiver. In two seasons as a Spartan, he had 65 catches for 848 yards and 10 touchdowns. He recorded 15 catches for over 15 yards. He also played basketball for the Spartans in 21 and 22. One thing I don't like on film and what the data shows is he has a lot of contested catches. Matt, that can be a problem. That doesn't translate, as you and I have spoken before. So I have a lot. If it was a graph, this ain't a linear graph. This is a dot chart all over the place as far as where I analyze them. But Matt, let's get down to the nitty gritty, his athletic ability. What does your film study say about Keon Coleman?
Yeah, you know, Keon Coleman, it's one of those players who I understand if you don't watch tape and you just plug it into the model, I think he's a player where it's easy to look at it and put it all together and be worried. But you have to balance that out with what your eyes see. And it is some exciting electric tape. You mentioned it here. The athleticism is a big piece of it. He has great vertical ability. We see that really consistently. So you have great size. Then you pair that with vertical ability. And then you have this ability to really win at the catch point. You know, it seems like no ball is uncatchable for Keon Coleman. He's a fluid athlete for his size. I think he gets to speed very well. Running in a straight line, he can really burn accelerating along the boundary. You know, let's be clear here. Keon Coleman is a boundary threat. He needs to be playing along the outside at the next level. But in the right offense, he could be absolutely just dangerous for secondaries, for defensive backs. We talk about his pass catching ability. This is something that I'm really kind of focused in on. So I mentioned his athleticism, his vertical ability. He's got a great catch radius as well. And I'm convinced, and I don't hate PFF, all right? I appreciate the PFF stats. I appreciate all the contested catch stats. But if you watch and you understand the Florida State offense, Jordan Travis was a great college quarterback. He wasn't a super accurate college quarterback. I think that's not talked about enough. And then you pair that up with Rotemaker and whoever the freshman was. I think part of Keon Coleman's contested catch numbers being low, I think he gets his hands on more balls than he should. I think he makes balls in plays that should be completely uncatchable look contested. He gives those plays a chance. And that's with his vertical athleticism. That's with his ball tracking. You know what? I'm going to stand here. I'll take the hate. I know it's not a popular opinion. I think he tracks the ball well. I think he finds the ball. He puts his body in position. He reacts to the ball in midair. He's able to turn around, find it quickly. I don't think ball tracking is a problem for him. And I don't think drops are a problem for him either. Would I like him to separate more consistently? Yes. Always I want that. But in terms of being a big man who's going to find himself in contested catch situations, he's got the catch radius, he's got the ball tracking ability, and he's got the body positioning. So for me, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about that, but it's not going to stop me from being in on him. But then here's the route running too, because we got to put this together with his route running. He uses physical hands, and I think he does separate well with physical hands, but he does it close to the catch point, right? Which, again, isn't preferable. But the actual routes he runs, all right, at this point in time, he runs a post route, he runs a go route, and he runs a curl route, okay? And Keon Coleman runs those three routes. And listen, he can make a living in the NFL running those three routes. It's got to be the right NFL offense, It's got to be with a quarterback that can really push the ball downfield. And he's going to have, you know, some receivers on the other side of the field that are drawing top coverage away from him, right? But there's a world with just those three routes, Keon Coleman could make a living. But here's the thing. Here's what I want to emphasize here. Keon Coleman is raw. And whenever there's a raw prospect, you always have to ask yourself why. Right? Why is he raw? Is there a good reason that he isn't fully developed yet? I think in Michigan State, with terrible quarterback play, with Peyton Thorne and with Jaden Reed opposite of him, there was this ability to just kind of go up and do it. You know what I mean? There wasn't a lot of development there in the Mel Tucker offense. And I think they just let this super athletic underclassman do his thing and didn't, you know, coach him up before he got to the field. And then remember, he transferred after spring practice at Florida to Florida State. So when you transfer after spring practice, that means you really only have 2 weeks in the fall of actual practice. Of course, you can learn the playbook all off season, but this was a Florida State team that was pushing all in this year. And they had, you know, Johnny Wilson on the other side. I think that they were more than happy to just let Keon Coleman be a boundary guy to run downfield. I don't know that he's ever been asked to do more than what he's shown. And you mentioned it, John. He also played on the basketball team at Michigan State. So he's athletic. I mean, I know he didn't like log a ton of minutes, but you're playing under Tom Izzo. Okay, that's impressive to get recruited for two sports. So that rawness, I can see it translating. And then yards after catch, he is effective with the ball in his hands after the catch. I mentioned that fluidity. He can get yards after it. So it's not like he's doing all of his damage before the catch. So with Keon Coleman, is his tape perfect? No. But you're not always going to get perfect prospect tape. So sometimes you have to look through that, and you have to be able to try and translate that and figure out how to project out fantasy football value. And for me, I can see that fantasy football value here with Keon Coleman, just like I can see the value of being in on the rookie big board. Rookie big board patrons have the ability to get in on our in-depth rookie rankings, our Discord that's going off 24/7. We're answering trade questions, roster questions, you know, personalized advice to help you beat your league mates. We have the rookie big board guide coming out later this month. And then we have, of course, one-on-one draft consolation calls. So much available for as low as $5 a month. So you're going to want to make sure you get in on that over at patreon.com/rookiebigboard or save 15% off now with that annual membership. All right, so there it is, John. We have the tape breakdown. We have the overview. Let's put it into the stat model here. How do things look for Keon Coleman's ability to translate to some NFL success?
Matt, very similar to what I talked about earlier, and I think you did hit on the key. If you are going to believe in Keon Coleman, I think you have to look at the ceiling. And you have to look at the athletic ability and project him to be something that we haven't seen yet. And you mentioned it. I think he's a classic X receiver. Like, to me, he plays on the boundary. You might put him in motion, but you're not doing a lot of these fancy things with him. He's an X. You play him there and you let him succeed. But there are some red flags that concern me in the model. I do like the receiving yards per team pass attempt. It's pretty sticky, Matt. And I'm looking for a benchmark of 2.5. Keon Coleman came at 1.62. I think you provided some of the context. He didn't have great quarterbacks. Jordan Travis was a better college quarterback than an NFL prospect. He's inaccurate. Enough said about Peyton Thorne. We'll just leave it there at that. So that is some of the receiving yards per team pass attempt, because we do see big plays on tape, and he did make 15 plays at Michigan State over 15 yards. Then I look catch percentage, 56%, but I think you described it much better. Inaccuracy, the quarterback position, but then there's also some contested passes there that he couldn't pull down. So there's a dichotomy there that I think we have to pay attention to. Team Aerial Dominator, he was at 20%, was his best season, Matt. I'm looking at 30, so he's never achieved that. My model and my projection says I believe that he's the number two on a team. I think he's a great number two receiver. If you're going to put him out there and he's going to be your number one and you want to pepper him with 125 targets or more, I don't think that's the way he's going to excel. But if you have a great slot receiver or a tight end, or you spread it around to your Z, right? I think then Keon Coleman could be really efficient with 80 to 90 targets in the right offense. But my model says, beware, there's some concerns here. So let's put it all together, this puzzle. What do you say fantasy footballers should know, Matt?
All right, there's some tape upside. There's some hesitation with the stats. But how do we decipher that proper value point here to draft Keon Coleman? Let's start with talking about my projected NFL draft capital for him. And right now, I think he's going to go day one late to day two mid. That's picks 21 to 50 overall. So I think he's going to go in either the back end of day one. He could hear his name called on the first night. At this point, I'd say, you know, the 25 to 32, if he was going to go on day one, probably sliding over into that first day, or I'm sorry, into that second day. You know, I could see him being one of the first names called on day two as well. We mentioned it earlier, but the upside, the fact that he's an X receiver, he's got size and he's got athleticism. There's too many points of upside for him not to secure top 50 draft capital for me. And top 50 draft capital is fantastic. I don't care whether he goes 22 or 48. That's the same draft capital range for me in my model and my formula. And then as we kind of look forward here to how he's going to show up in Superflex rookie drafts, there's a lot of polarity here with Keon Coleman. And with that polarity, what I've noticed talking with folks in the Rookie Big Board Discord, talking with other analysts out there, folks who are off of Keon Coleman are decidedly off of Keon Coleman. They like being off Keon Coleman. They want to be off him. And so I originally had Keon Coleman as kind of a late first round, early second round type guy. But just kind of picking up on the trends that I think are out there, I think he's probably going to go picks 205 to 208, mid-second round. And I got to tell you, if he goes mid-second round, I'm going to have what I would call good exposure to him. 26 to 40% of the times I get the chance to draft him in that spot, I will. You know, I'm recognizing here that drafting Keon Coleman, it means you're stepping up to the roulette table here and you are putting your chips in on black. It's not a guaranteed hit, but it's going to give you a really nice return if and when he does succeed in an NFL offense. It's going to yield some real fantasy football production, and I'm willing to push my chips in for that. I understand if you're not, but that's healthy risk. That's the type of risk I want to take when playing fantasy football. And in terms of my fantasy football value comparison here, I have Rashi Rice down. You know, I think in the way that he could be employed or deployed by an NFL offense, I think it could be in a very similar way. We had a lot of these same questions about Rashi Rice. Of course, he was a little bit lower of draft capital than what I'm expecting from Keon Coleman. And, you know, Rice right now, I think, is going to be startups as a wide receiver three. I think folks are going to expect him to finish, you know, wide receiver 30 to 36. And that's where I could see Keon Coleman finishing in his rookie season. If he's, you know, in the right spot, it could be even higher than that. So I'm willing to go in on Keon Coleman. I understand if you're not, but regardless, you should be going in on the awesome resources available over at patreon.com/rookiebigboard. Get in on the rankings, the Discord, the bonus rookie profile episodes, the draft guide, the one-on-one draft consultations. So much great stuff going on. And as always, we appreciate you checking out this rookie profile.